besides the normal freight rates as per the tax book, there are various surcharges or margins or other expenditure involved for movement of that air cargo. We are all over and above the net freight for various purposes. And these have got to be paid by the shipper of that cargo. And these are mentioned on the air bill. Types of surcharge could be to cover fuel costs, shipment handling costs, insurance, security, dangerous goods handling, etc. And these surcharges are separately mentioned on the airway bill. Then along with the basic freight, all these surcharges to be added, it becomes the total freight as far as that shipment is concerned. Of course, airlines also have an inbuilt margin known as sales margin to cover the sales administration costs, including brokerage fees, general sales, agent fees, etc. Normally, these are included in the tagged rate, but certain airlines are charging separately as administrative expenses. They are added as a percentage or an absolute amount on a per consignment basis. How do you calculate the freight? Airway bills will always show the gross weight of a shipment, including the weight of the containers and packaging material. The tare weight and shipment weight are listed separately on an airway bill for the purpose of freight calculation. That basically means the ULD weight is not to be added onto the freight. Freight is calculated on the chargeable weight, that is actual gross weight or volume weight, cubic meter of the volume. Volume weight calculation is used as the chargeable weight for the air shipment because the shipment size takes up more room than what is considered normal for the weight of the shipment. And such volume weight is calculated by multiplying the greatest length of the shipment by its greatest width and greatest height in centimeters, and this result is divided by 6,000 to get the volume weight. The volume of all packages expressed in cubic meters or cubic feet, which comprises the shipment, will be taken to be the shipment volume. Dimensional weight or volume weight is a computed weight based on a minimum density requirement. That means the cargo or package density requirement has resulted in this kind of a calculator. It is used to determine the freight charges for low-dense shipment and therefore computed by adding the shipment volume by the minimum density requirement. When shipment falls below the minimum density requirement, dimensional weights rather than actual weight is used to calculate the transportation charged. And of course, some carriers also give a discount for shipments of high density goods. Airway bill is similar to the bill of lading as far as the exporter or shipper is concerned. But as far as the airway bill is concerned, this is having a slight deviation over here. Major deviation is Rotterdam rules do not apply here. Here, all rules are applied by IATA. IATA rules will apply. A normal airway bill or air consignment note has got an 11-digit code for all air shipments. It is a receipt for goods and also evidence of the contract of carriage, but is not a document of title and is not negotiable. That is the difference between a bill of lading and an airway bill. Airway bill is a non-negotiable document. And therefore, the original is never given to the shipper. But that first copy, which is treated as the original given to shipper, is known as the shipper's copy. Normally, there are four shippers' copy. But the fifth and sixth copies are actually the original airway bills that has got to be carried by the same aircraft with the cargo. Of course, there are international agreements governing liability of the carrier, which are called conventions. And here, as far as airway bills are concerned, master airway bill is issued by the actual carrier as per the IATA rules, that is the International Air Convention. Then there is a house airway bill is separate. It is not as per the IATA rules. Of course, IATA e-airway bill removes the requirements of a paper airway bill, which means faster airfare shipments. Nowadays, you don't have a hard copy of an airway bill. It is always transferred on electronic means. Yes, dangerous goods can be carried by an aircraft also. And just like you have got dangerous goods rules as far as sea shipments are concerned, that is IMDG code. Here you have got slightly different code. As far as aircraft is concerned, there is a United Nations official term for hazardous goods. That is substances which are capable of posing a risk to the health or safety of the general public when transported by air, and which are classified according to ICAO technical instructions, that is International Civil Aviation Organization technical instructions for the safe transport of dangerous goods by air. And based on this, IATA has prepared an IATA dangerous goods regulation, commonly known as DGR rules. The hazardous material dangerous goods are classified by United Nations under UN Class 1 to UN Class 9, depending on the hazardous nature of the goods. And they may only be transported under certain conditions relative to packaging, quantity carried, appropriate labeling, marking, denoting the UN class, and the handling code. These have all got to be mentioned on the airway bill. Also mentioned is the airline type, which can be taken. That means the cargo cannot, certain cargoes cannot go by all airlines. There are certain types of airlines which can carry certain class of dangerous goods. And above all, location of that particular cargo on board the plane. And they have got to be in conformity with all the applicable rules and regulations of the conventions. Dangerous goods are classified separately. They are defined as those goods which meet the criteria of one or more of 9 UN hazard classes and were applicable to one of the 3 UN packaging groups. That means there are 9 classes of dangerous goods, class 1 to class 9, and then there are 3 packaging groups as far as the classification is concerned. The 9 classes relate to the type of hazard, whereas the packaging group relates to the applicable degree of danger within that class. Many of the substances listed in class 1 to 9 are deemed without additional labeling as being environmentally hazardous. and therefore classification must be made by the appropriate national authority when so required, or may otherwise be made by the shipper. A number of limitations have been established by regulations which are in place as far as dangerous goods are concerned, and which are permitted for transportation by air. If you look at the dangerous goods list, this is the normal classification. First column is United Nations class 1, 2, 3. For second row, class 1, dangerous goods are explosives. Then again, there is a division having a specific classification. Dangerous goods, explosives. 1.1 is mass explosive, 1.2 is non-mass explosive, 1.3 is minor blast explosive, 1.4 is non-significant explosive. These are sub-divisions or subclasses of the dangerous goods. Then UN class 2 are all gases. Again, there you have got flammable gas or non-flammable gas or toxic gas. Number 3, flammable liquids. Number 4, flammable solids. Here you have got 4.1, 2, 3, depending on the type of solid. Number 5, oxidizers and organic peroxides, which are known as oxidizing substances. Class number 6 is toxic and infectious substances. 7 is radioactive material. 8 is corrosive substances, and 9 is miscellaneous dangerous goods. These are the 9 classes of dangerous goods as per United Nations classification. When we go to packaging, the shipper is responsible for all aspects of packing of dangerous goods in compliance with the regulations, that is, in compliance with dangerous goods regulation of IATA. They have got to comply with the set of packaging instructions, requirements appropriate to the type of package to be used, and use only packaging permitted by the applicable instructions specified in the list of the dangerous goods. Each dangerous good is having a list of the packaging material to be used. As far as all packages are concerned, restrict the overall quantity per package to limit it to specific quantum as per the list of the dangerous goods, or to design limits for package which are more restrictive, either on quantity basis or design basis. In addition, the combination of packaging, the quantity limit per inner packaging must not exceed the limits specified in the applicable packaging instructions. You can have large quantities of small package unit into one combined larger package, but the overall limit should be the same as per the regulation. And each component has got to be assembled and secured with exactly in the inner manner as it is intended by the packaging instructions. And also required to ensure that external surface of assembled packages are clean of contamination arising from filling process itself or from contamination from the environment surrounding the filling assembly area. That basically means that the package should be externally very clean, no spillages or no surrounding contamination from the environment. Shipper has also to ensure that his responsibility for packing are completely fulfilled when the package is presented for shipment to the airline. As far as packaging groups are concerned, the dangerous goods are assigned to a UN number and proper shipping names according to their hazard classification and their composition on the outside of the package. and package groups are used for purpose of determining the degree of protective packaging required for those kinds of dangerous goods during the transportation. Group 1 is great danger, that is some combination of different classes of dangerous goods on the same vehicle or on the same container are forbidden if one of the goods is group 1, that is the most protective packaging required. Group 2 is medium danger, group 3 is least danger amongst regulated goods and least protective packaging within the transportation requirement. So apart from the DGR classification, there is a packing group classification also, group 1, 2 and 3. Then there are packing specifications and performance tests also required to be done. There are two systems of codes which are used for packaging. One is outer single packaging, that is of 2 or 3 character code is used for designating the packaging which has been used. And here you have got either composite packaging, that is 2 capital letters in Latin characters are used in sequence in the second position of the code. And in case of combination packages, only the code number for the outer package is used. As far as inner package is concerned, that means basically you have one outer package and then you can have smaller inner packages. The inner package is a 3 or 4 character code which is used for designating the inner packaging with the capital letter IP in Latin, indicating that this is IP or inner packaging, followed by a numerical code indicating the kind of inner packaging and a capital letter in Latin indicating the category within the kind. So there are different kinds of codes. Of course, all these details are spelled out in the DGR book. Understand the type of code. Type code for packaging, 1 is drawn, 2 is reserved, 3 is jerry can, 4 is box, 5 bags, 6 composite packaging. Packing material code, A steel all types, B aluminium, C natural wood, D plywood, F reconstituted wood, G fiber board, H plastic material, L textile material, M paper or multi-wall, N metals other than steel or aluminium, P glass, porcelain or stoneware. These are the codes which have got to be used, mentioned on the outer part of the packages. Then qualifying packaging code, V special packaging, W special packaging manufactured to a specification, and then of course there is a salvage packaging. Next we have specific marking and labeling procedure required for all dangerous goods. And here also, the shipper is responsible for all necessary marking and labeling of each package of dangerous goods and each overpack of dangerous goods. For each package or overpackage labeling, the shipper must, 1, remove or obliterate any irrelevant labeling already on the package or overpack. Then, use only labels of durable quality and correct specification. There are specific labels required for dangerous goods. Inscribe on each label in a durable manner any required additional information. Affix the appropriate labels in the correct location and in a secure manner. If subsequently it is found that the label somehow or the other has been detached, then the shipper would be held liable for all costs arising out of any damage. Ensure that the responsibility for labeling are completely fulfilled when the package or overpack is presented to the operator for shipment. Here we have got specific IATA DGR labels. Hazardous label, separate label, class 1, hazardous material, class 2.1. You have got the label with the word two mentioned over there. First one, label with one mention, different coloring, different coding. 2.2, separate coloring. Each of the 9 classes have got 9 separate types of DGR labels. When we come to documentation for the dangerous goods, there is a shipper's declaration for dangerous goods. There is a form, a format, and the arable must be completed for each consignment. That is number one, dangerous goods declaration has got to be filled in properly and signed with all the detailed information by the shipper. And then arable also should show the required details of the dangerous goods as per requirement of the DGR regulation. Here, shipper is totally responsible for providing information applicable to the dangerous goods to the operator or a declaration form to be filled out. For each shipment containing dangerous goods, the shipper must use only the correct form in the correct manner, ensure that the information on the form is accurate, easy to identify, legible and durable. Ensure that the form is properly signed where the shipment is presented to the operator for shipment. And finally, ensure that shipment has been prepared in accordance with these DGR regulations. When we look at radioactive material, IAEA-based regulations for the safe transport of radioactive material establish certain standards of safety which provide an acceptable level of control of the radiation. The criticality of the radiation is very important. That is, criticality and thermal hazards to a person, property, and above all, the environment as a whole, as associated with the transportation by air. The objective of these regulations is to protect the persons, property and environment from the effect of radiation during transportation of the radioactive material by air. This protection is achieved by requiring a containment of the radioactive contents, control of external radiation levels, prevention of criticality and prevention of damage by heat.
Friends, as you all know, that COVID-19 pandemic has really hurt all aspects of trade and business, but it has hurt the aviation industry more. There has been a global effect on the entire aviation industry. Why the pandemic has placed travel restrictions, leading to a slump in demand among travelers, lockdowns, everybody locked in their house, they could not move out at all. Planes were flying empty between airports, and this led to cancellation of flights. There was a total collapse of tourism. The hospitality industry and the energy industry. This has resulted in a downturn in consumer activity, which has led to a drop in prices of oil, especially crude oil prices have dropped because it is not being consumed by the aviation industry at all. As a result of this, we saw Russia and Saudi Arabia having an oil price war. As far as global energy is concerned, there was a total crisis over there. As the world is coming out, that is exited, the early recession is caused by the pandemic, there was a global surge in demand of oil due to strong energy demand in Asia. We started coming out of the pandemic, coming out of the recession very fast. So there was a surge in demand in the global energy requirement, especially in Asia. But again, we were impacted by the Russia-Ukraine war. the war has disrupted trade and also global transport routes, adding to stress to the existing supply disruptions already, which has been prevailing due to the COVID-19. The reciprocal ban on flights between Russia and European airspace risks have disrupted the global air cargo movement. Air cargo movement was disrupted to the extent where rates for air freight went on increasing fantastically. This has pushed up the global transportation cost as rerouting occurs through a longer and more expensive routes, especially between Europe and East Asia, that is the area overflying Russia and Ukraine. Around 20% of global air cargo is reported to be affected by these airspace bans. We have had very good medical tourism. India, especially, has developed the COVID-19 pandemic vaccination very fast. And we were one of the world's largest manufacturers of the vaccines. And this helped India to become a medical supplier, vaccine supplier to the world, ultimately developing our medical tourism. India is the fourth largest civil aviation market in the world. And we have a fast-growing medical tourism. The sector is offering low-cost health services and long-term care also. Because this is a time where health services have been affected throughout the world. So people started coming to India. It has developed the medical tourism facility for India. Due to the multidimensional impact of the pandemic, COVID-19, in the form of a global healthcare crisis, the Indian government, of course, made it easier for foreigners to receive medical treatment without them necessarily applying for a medical visa. Freely available visas as far as such requirement for medical tourism is concerned due to this pandemic. Of course, in general, cosmetic surgery, bariatric surgery, kneecap replacements, liver transplants, and cancer treatments are some of the most sought out medical tourism procedures which have been chosen by foreigners, and on these accounts they have come to India for this kind of a treatment. We have advanced so much on our medical facilities.
Thank you.